Welcome to Perfect Storm Podcast with Hunter, Alex, and Garrett.
And Garrett.
Don't you dare forget about Garrett.
If you forgot about me, you've already
just stop listening. Yeah. Just nah. Give up. Kill yourself.
It's the end for you.
It's the end.
Just
it's over.
Fucking give up.
If you forgot about Garrett, go jump off a cliff.
Jesus. A high one at that.
Oh. Disclaimer, we do not encourage any suicidal actions or cliff jumping.
Even though we just told you to do it, but we discourage it.
But as
greatly.
A disclaimer, we are against suicide and cliff jumping.
Could we get sued?
Could we get sued? If someone killed themselves and...
Maybe jump off a cliff.
Just hypothetically, if you wanted to jump off a cliff...
You should do it.
Don't mention us in your final words or suicide note.
I mean, you could say in your final words as long as no one's there. But it'd be kind
of... like if it's a cliff and you yell off the cliff, like, I'm doing this because of Perfect Storm Podcast. And, like, as long as there's no hikers around to hear it.
If it's a high cliff, it's probably going to echo. So, like, keep that in mind.
Yeah, keep
that. So just don't do it if that's, like, what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Think about other people, you selfish prick.
Yeah, what if you land on somebody? What if you land on somebody's baby?
I was thinking more in terms of, we might go to jail because you killed yourself, prick.
Even though we told you to, asshole.
Great beginning. All right, today's podcast
is about society.
That's a great segue.
What a great segue into society we've just created there.
All right, Alex, would you like to start off with the first bullet point?
Yes, I would be very interested in that. Let me pull up my notes.
I'd appreciate that greatly, sir.
Okay, so okay, this is a question, guys. Mm. So get your brains ready.
Okay, hypothetical.
What?
I said all shit.
The first thing Hunter says all podcasts is aw shit when we tell him we have a question for him. Okay, so my question for society is based off of moral changes in, like, throughout decades and stuff. Like, ending segregation, going from owning slaves to giving African Americans rights, going from, you know, women not being able to vote to women being able to vote.
Is this gonna cross a line?
This should not cross any lines. All it says is what kind of massive moral changes may happen in the future. Like, what way of thinking do we have right now that might completely change in the future? Because, like, back in the 50s and 60s, it was, you know, the thoughts of the masses, like, you know, blacks were worse than whites. Women didn't belong in the workplace. Like, things that just the majority of society thought that we look back on as a mistake. So it was like... there anything right now that's, like, massively agreed upon that in, you know, maybe a couple decades from now, our future generations are going to look back on us and be like, wow, they really thought this way.
There's probably going to be, like, 80,000 genders.
I bet there's going to be
80,000 genders.
Yes. I mean, sorry to go this way, but I think we're just going to underestimate the capabilities of robots, and robots are going to murder the shit out of us. So we're going to be like, oh, robots, they're just, we create them, they're not sentient. And then further down the road, we're just going to be like, oh, okay, we're making them smarter, that's cool. And then we're going to be like, oh shit, they're smarter than us, that's
scary.
Like
AI technology?
Yeah, like the shit Elon Musk working on, that's some freaky shit. He's going to murder us all, but he's probably our best hope. He's like the Terminator. But, like, not a robot, you know?
He's, like, the guy who built the Terminator.
He's like, I am legend, but not black.
Wait, that's so... I don't think Elon Musk and the guy from I Am Legend have any similarities.
Yeah, I know. They're different races.
No, that's...
Obviously, Alex. Jeez.
I am sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really... That's a very broad question.
It is broad, yeah.
What do you think?
I definitely think, like with Hunter said, with the 80,000 genders and stuff, I think one of the biggest fighting movements right now is the LGBTQ community. And it's like, no matter how you feel about it, I think in a couple of decades, we are going to have, like, a massive moral change, and people are going to look back on our generation and the way the majority of us feel about, you know, the LGBT community and the number of genders and stuff like that. I think there's going to be, you know, for better or for worse, there's going to be a massive change in the way that we view that community and view that, yeah, community. I was just going to say that
I feel
twice.
I feel like years from now, society is going to be like, what the fuck went wrong with us? How did we get so fucking soft? Like, what's the deal with us? Like, we were like World War II and shit, like, tough as nails. like 12-year-old kids going to fucking war. Now we're over here like fucking saying pussy is power, wearing like pussy hats.
Yeah, my 9-year-old can't work at a sweatshop. The fuck is this bullshit?
Exactly. If I don't want to have an Asian daughter, I am allowed to kick it off a bridge.
No, I don't think. I think that's definitely one of the things we look back on and regret about how we felt.
That's like that, Sparta shit, though.
That is not Sparta. That is that is just pure I hate Asians.
It's Darwinism. We want the fucking strongest to survive.
Well, any like Asian baby is gonna be weaker than a fully developed man.
Kill them all!
Kill all the babies because they're weaker than men.
That's...
Kill all women and children is where we're going.
Little baby. You weak.
Weak little baby. Off of bridge you go.
I mean, it's the only route I see.
I think you were right about this crossing a line. I was like, no, there's no way this question will cross a line.
I love how I said, is this gonna cross a line?
And now we're talking about, yeah, you are the one who crossed the line.
But also, I think that the society of like people being soft, I feel like that.
You feel like we're gonna get softer in the future?
No, I feel like that mentality got punched in the fucking pussy really hard. And now they're gonna turn in. I feel like the strong ones are gonna, like, you know how like back in the day in like old high school, like the band kids would get bullied by like the jocks, and that was the normal thing. Right now, the band kids are supreme, and they're whining. They're whining like little bitches. But in the future, I feel like the jocks are gonna be like, I'm tired of this shit.
The jocks are gonna turn into the band.
The jocks are gonna. Oh yeah, the jocks are gonna turn into the baby, start crying, and then they're gonna kick the shit out of the band kids. That's how I imagine.
So it's gonna be like a reset. We're gonna get.
It's like a recess.
So okay,
we got to recess. They're like, let's beat the shit.
I feel like what you're saying is we're gonna, in the future, everything's gonna kind of flip over on itself, and then it's gonna be like a natural thing. We're gonna reset. And go back to social cues, basic social cues.
I always go back to this whenever I hear the word reset. Have you guys ever seen Toy Story 2? The one with like the...
Yeah, I've seen Toy
Story.
The
purple bear, that one?
No, that's Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3, then.
Yeah.
I always think back to when Buzz, he had that little thing, that button pressed in his back, and he turns into the little Spanish version of him.
The factory version.
Yes, I love that. That's great. I'm sorry. That was just...
All right. Hunter, do you have anything to say about this before we move on to a different bullet point?
There's a dude with a lightsaber hanging out his window right there.
No.
Yeah, we need to find a better spot than a car to record these.
I'm looking at...
Welcome to Perfect Storm Podcast in a Walmart parking lot.
I already said what I had to say.
All right, Garrett, why don't you go to your first bullet point? I can't wait for that actual microphone to come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be so much easier.
All right, well, I'm just going to... I know we just had sort of like... I'll do a harder one. I'll do a nicer one later. Has society become more socially acceptable or more distant to people's actions?
That is a good one. Who the fuck was that?
Fuck off.
We are recording here.
Asshole.
What do you mean?
Has it become more accepting or more distant, is what you said?
Has society become more socially acceptable or more distant to people's actions? Like, do we accept, how do we accept what people do? Are we just more like, I feel like how we were talking about, like, how, like, people are very, like, soft nowadays. I feel like, in my opinion, I'll just say mine first. I feel like people are very, like, quick to judge things. Like, they're quick to make assumptions, and then I feel like people are very quick to find the negatives in things before they try and even see the positives. So they sort of turn on that mental switch where they're like, oh, someone's doing better than me. I have to immediately knock them down because they're doing better than me. It's sort of like, it's like I'm not in the place where I want to be, but they're in the place they want to be, so, like, fuck them, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with
that. That's just how I see the world right now. I feel like people are so quick to... make hurtful comments before they try and sort of build people up. They try and knock people down before they can build them up. And I feel like that's just for people's own moral, like, high ground. So they feel better about themselves and feel like they can sort of have a say, sort of be like the alpha of the situation rather than, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's just pricey.
Yeah, it's like an envious type of way of thought.
Yeah. It's sort of just like, it's just sort of how people portray, that's Kit, by the way. That's just sort of how people get their points across. Because some people, they don't really have like a strong hold of their emotions. So they sort of use the weaker parts of their mind, not to be rude, but like the sort of like mentally draining parts, the parts that are more rude and confided in like their like back of their brain. So like as soon as they hear something, they're just like, okay, well, that doesn't make me happy, but it makes them happy, so let me just fuck up their day for a little bit, you know?
Oh yeah. That's like just, yeah. Opinions based off of hate definitely get more attention nowadays than one based off of positivity. Like people saying like, I hate these types of people, I hate this group, I hate, you know, all this stuff. Like you start your opinion out with I hate, it tends to gain more traction and more attention than if you start your opinion with I love. And it's because people, like, they love to hate things nowadays. You know, you say, you know, you hate all cops or something like that, you get people who also hate all cops coming at you, agreeing with you, expressing their hate towards it. Then you get people who love all cops, and it turns into an argument, and people love arguing. So they see an opinion based off hate. If they agree with it, they join the hate. If they disagree with it, they add more hate, but a hate towards their opinion. So it's all based off of what you hate and how much you hate it, and whether or not other people are going to hate it with you or people are going to hate against you. But that overshadows a lot of opinions of people expressing their opinions if they both like love something or like something, think something's good. That type of stuff doesn't usually gain as much traction or as much attention or even lasts very long in a conversation than an argument between, you know, two different people hating something.
Well, yeah, I also feel, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I also feel like, sort of in the way what you said, people who like might like the exact same things and are actually bonding over something, I feel like they might be afraid to express their actual like love or passion for something because they're so afraid of what other people might say about that.
Oh, definitely.
Or just like they might just feel more weakened by the idea of having their own sort of way of like thinking, that it sort of messes them up.
Ah, shit.
And
okay, well, we got kind of interrupted by one of our friends, so we are back with the same topic. Let's just talk about
a new bullet point
at this point.
Mm. Oh, can I do the fun bullet point?
Yeah, do the fun bullet point.
Okay. I think I've already told you guys this before, maybe. Okay, so I thought about this one day. I wasn't high. I just had this amazing thought. So what if you pass on your Snapchat accounts from generation to generation and we see, like, 30 years ago today?
They're back again. Oh, my fucking God. I don't want to talk to these.
I'm going to dare you to roll down the window and be like, you guys fucked up our last recording.
Where you going, Hunter?
Our last recording got stopped.
Yeah.
God damn. Nobody's listening to this part, dumbass. You just cut it out. No one's gonna add your fucking snap.
You gotta keep the screen, though.
No.
Yes, no. That could be our opener.
God damn.
Well, there's the recording. It's just like an audio.
Yeah. It's podcast.
Yeah, you better fucking be.
on, bro.
I tried to make it in his bed.
All right, let's just start over from reading the bullet point. God,
I got
damn.
9 minutes now.
Oh my god! All right, just reread that bullet point, and I'll edit around this bullshit.
It's only been 2 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So my crazy thought was, I was looking at. Let me just preface. I was looking at Snapchat one day, and you know how like you have like a year ago today. Imagine you had this one account and you had it your entire life. And then once you die, you hand off that account to your grandkid. And then they have it their entire life. And then they can see like a year ago today for like your entire life. And they just see all this old shit pop up continuously on your year ago today. Wouldn't that be so cool?
They see some fucked up shit.
Yeah, but that'd be fun too. They'd be like, that's crazy. And you just keep doing that for generations and generations.
I wouldn't give it to my son.
I don't know if Snapchat will even survive a couple generations. I mean, it's only been around for, like, barely a decade. Maybe a little bit over a decade.
You gotta believe in it, bro.
No, there's gotta be something new that's gonna come out. Yeah, something. Or it's gonna...
Hey, y'all remember when Kick was an actual way of messaging people?
No, I don't even know that it was.
Exactly. Nobody does. Because it's fucking dead. It used to be something that, like, everybody used back in, like... I don't know when it came out. It was
back in the dark ages.
Back in the dark ages before Snapchat, but you know, I don't think Snapchat's gonna last generations.
I mean, let's just imagine, hypothetically it did.
Hypothetically if it did, I mean, I guess that'd be pretty cool.
That would be
it.
I wouldn't really.
He'll see some dumb shit.
Dude. But could you imagine every single day there's something in your Snapchat memories to
and
look
you're
at.
Like, that'd be so interesting. You'd be like, oh, what is it today? Oh, look.
Yeah, you should make a weird snap every day and just save it. That way next, like, you'll end up having one for 365 days. And so every day you look back on a weird snap.
It'd be bad, like, if you just see, like... So, like, imagine one day, like a girl, like one of the dudes just takes a dick pic and he saves it. And generations from then...
His great-grandson
is like, what is it
or
today?
Or granddaughter, you know? What if she sees that shit? Scars her for life.
She fucking saves nudes. That'd be bad. That'd be a bad situation.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people save a lot of weird...
I mean, we are in the South.
...personal shit.
Oh, yeah, Maya's only would be a bitch.
Those don't show up on your memories, though.
I know, but imagine...
I wish they did. I see some titties every once in a while. Just surprise tits.
Surprise tits.
Surprise tits.
We know it's in Hunter's My Eyes Only now.
There's ass, too.
Ass and titties in mine.
Yeah, I don't think Snapchat's gonna last a couple of generations enough. Hypothetically, I think that'd be kind of weird. But
if it did, that would be sick. Just imagine the possibility.
I think we can do another bullet point. Okay, so this one's also about social media. So
the worst thing that was ever invented.
The worst thing that was ever invented. And my thing is, we've kind of gotten to a point with social media where everybody wants to be like a content creator. Like everybody wants to blow up on some form of media. Like even us, we're doing a podcast. That's content creating. Like, you know, we're not trying to blow up or anything, but you know, we are. We are a part of the content creating, you know, thought process.
And at least
and
at some point in at, like a person's life, they've thought about it. They're like,
yeah, like I've thought about it. You know, I've even tried it. We used to make those videos as kids, man. But we're now in such a desperate age to crave attention on various social media platforms, and I kind of thought about it for a while, like TikTok being like the biggest thing right now. I would never want to be TikTok famous. Like I would never want to be there because I see the type of people that get TikTok famous, and it's all based off of looks, and it's all based off of like the amount of content you put out, the if you repeat the same content over and over again to make it like trending. You know, it just takes such little effort and actual talent. Why would I want to blow up on the same app and be held on a pedestal shared by people that are just talentless, generic people that I don't want to associate with. Because everybody wants to blow up on TikTok, but you realize you blow up on TikTok, you won't be seen as the person you want to be seen as. You're going to be seen as a bland, talentless nobody that just has a lot of followers on an app.
Also, you'll be known as being fine. That's the only
You'll be known for your looks and for the amount of content you can put out with that with your looks.
You can't say if you became TikTok famous out of nowhere and you had like, I don't know, let's say like 40 million followers.
40 million followers.
Yeah, exactly. 40 million followers on TikTok. And then all these fucking girls in like the chat were like, oh my god, Alex is so hot. You would not be like, okay, I see the hype.
I'd be like, go back to the street, start.
Go back.
Then they'd be like, oh my god.
I mean, at that point, I don't know, because I don't experience that life, obviously.
Yes.
But I feel like if you had that many people coming at you with that opinion, you would get kind of desensitized to the idea that people find you attractive, that once you find a girlfriend, you know, then you wouldn't give a fuck that 40 million people find you attractive, because it's like, oh, you find me attractive? Well, so do, you know, 40 million other people, so it doesn't really affect you that much. Because, you know, we got, like, models and celebrities, you know, like Hugh Jackman, all the girls think he's hot, Ryan Reynolds, stuff like that, and you know, I don't think they don't really talk about that too much, you know, and especially with like female celebrities like Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lawrence, people will not shut up about how hot they are, yet they're not really taking that for granted, at least in front of the camera, and they haven't, you know, quit the celebrity business because of it. I think it's just having so many people have the same opinion about you, you kind of get used to it and you're just kind of blowing it, rubbing it off your shoulder, stuff like that. So if I was TikTok famous with 40 million followers and I had 40 million girls saying I'm attractive, I don't think I would be like, oh, maybe I could enjoy being TikTok famous. I would just be like, yeah, I'm hot. You know?
I'd be like, oh, I can enjoy it for a little bit. And then once that little bit's over, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna hang up the talk. Put on my cape.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be famous off of my looks, you know, and that's kind of the whole point. It's like, why would you want to be famous on an app that, you know, nobody's going to see you as somebody who actually matters, who actually has talent and skill and potential?
Your face just looks nice.
Your face just looks nice, and you have 40 million people that only care about your face. They don't care about your personality, your talents, your skills. They care that you look hot. And now if you try and be an actual content creator, be an actual celebrity, you know, do what you want to do, you can't do what you want to do because you're trapped inside of this, like, you have to be this person or else you're gonna go down in flames. Like, you have to be this hot bland chick on TikTok or else nobody's gonna give a fuck about you and you're gonna die and nobody's gonna know who you are anymore.
I completely disagree. You're not stuck in a position as soon as you're there. Like, you know, like Charli D'Amelio, they're like the hot TikTok girls, I guess you'd say, but they just signed with HBO and now they're doing their own TV show. Like,
you gain like traction, exactly. But stuff like that, it always fails. Like Logan Paul's, or was it Jake or Logan Paul's, like Disney career getting cut short.
That was because he burned.
You see, that's what happens.
Okay, the reason why he got his Disney career taken away, it was because his vlogs, he burnt a mattress in his swimming pool in his backyard in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, but then you have all of those old Vine stars that tried moving to YouTube and nobody even knows who they are anymore.
It's because they didn't do it the right way.
Exactly, because they can't, because they
Logan
blew
Paul
up.
Paul and Jake Paul did.
Well, they... Well, majority, they suck ass.
They know how to
keep them followers. They know how to keep the hype and do that. That is their talent. Their talent isn't creating good content. Their talent is knowing how to market yourself as somebody that people want to follow.
Well, some people think that is good content. So like,
some people do, and that's okay. But their careers aren't fully based off of the quality of their content. Their careers are based off marketing themselves to where they can do whatever they want, and there will be people that find that as good content because you're a Logan Paul fan, not a Logan Paul vlogs, not a Logan Paul content fan, you're a Logan Paul fan, and anything with his face on it, you'll get into, because that's the brand of it. And that's not how everybody, I'm not saying every Logan Paul fan is like that, but the majority of his fans are, and those are the people they're always going to cater to.
But couldn't you just say that that's the same with most, like, creators? Because they're just, like, good at marketing their business and their craft, and they're sort of just spreading out all their assets over a large field, and doing really good at it. And it's the face that draws the attention because they're so used to the content and they like the content. You could say that about a million people. You could say that about anybody.
Yeah, there's definitely, like Logan Paul's not the only example.
Yeah.
Like, every form, like, especially with, like, actors and stuff, keeping their image in how, like, in superhero roles, you have to dehydrate yourself and put yourself through hell to keep an attractive body to be able to play this role. So it's definitely in all forms of media that this happens. I think in social media, it's just more obvious and prevalent because of how young and influential these people can be, and how subjective people who are addicted to social media can be. Because, like for my thing, I want to be a filmmaker when I grow up. And my favorite filmmakers aren't marketed based off their face. They're marketed based off the quality of their films and the financial success of those films. But if I wanted to be like a TikTok creator, then I wouldn't focus my time into the quality of my work and the financial success of my work. I would focus my time into marketing myself as a person, because the thing is, social media is based off of who you are as a person. That's why it's social. It's like a electronic society. It's not based off your work. It's based off who you are. So you have to be a person people want to follow, not create something that they want to follow. You have to be the person they want you to follow. And that's why I don't think Charlie D'Amelio's show is going to work, because, you know, big corporations, you know, HBO or Disney, they see these people, they see that they've marketed themselves as somebody that the masses of social media want to follow, and they want to bank off of that and get some traction off of that. So they're like, let's get Charlie D'Amelio on a new TV show because everybody will watch it and then HBO will be really popular. And same thing with Disney and getting TikTok stars on Disney and all that stuff. But then it fails because it's too much for them to handle, because they're just a TikTok star. They're not a TV show lead. They're not a big movie celebrity. They're used to doing 7 seconds of a video for a couple hours a day, posting that and then getting millions of followers off that. You try taking that and have them carry a TV show, all you're doing is filling their ears with producer advice and writers and shit that they just can't handle, because they've never had to handle that much at one time before. You know, doing a TV show takes so much more work, effort, and mental capacity than making a TikTok. So if you try and take TikTok stars and put them in a larger form of media, that media fails because they don't have the personal capacity to be able to handle something like that for very long, or it gets filled up with writers and producers that don't represent what those TikTokers actually want, and it just becomes another shitty TV show. Like, that's why Fred failed so much. You know, Fred was one of those classic YouTubers, created his own content, tried making a couple movies and a TV show, bombed every single one of them, fell on his ass because he's not a movie star and he's not a TV star. He was a little kid making YouTube videos that corporations thought they could turn him into one of those big, you know, kid celebrities. And you just can't do that. You can't change who someone is just by putting them on a larger scale of content creating. It'll always just fall flat on its ass after a couple of tries, and then they just go back to either doing their TikToks or they just fade out of the social norm and somebody else takes their place and the cycle starts again.
But if you think about it, everybody has to start from somewhere. A lot of these, like, movie actors and, let's say, like, comedians, they start when they're young and they start off on, like, a small scale. Like, let's say Jim Carrey, he started off, like, small, going to, like, small little comedy clubs and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that.
He started out as a movie extra. Like, he was an extra.
Yeah, and then as soon as he gets sort of the little jump from, like, a producing agency, then that's when he became big.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, everybody has a start. So, like, you see all these, like, child actors who are moved into, like, super good actors. Like, the dude off of the show Ozark, he was a child actor in I forgot what TV show it was called, but he was a child actor since he was, like, 6 years old. And look where he is now.
Yeah, Christian Bale, he was a child actor, too, when he was around 10 years old.
Yeah, they all start from somewhere, so they always have a beginning. And let's say, in Charlie D'Amelio's case, she's so young and in her, like, the beginning stages of her career, we don't even know where this could lead. So just saying that, like, oh, it's bound to fail at some point based off of, like, Fred because Fred was that the original dude, the first YouTube channel to ever hit 1 million subscribers on YouTube. So he was back in like 2009, was like a big deal. But that was in 2009. That wasn't when social media was big. Today is when social media is big. And TikTok is the biggest social media platform today. So she has so much traction, such a following, and everybody wants to see her face. And like everybody's like, oh, that's Charli D'Amelio. That's Charli D'Amelio. She has such a high marketing capacity based on her face and based on her relevance that she could do anything right now. She has so many opportunities and so many places she could go with her career that it's basically boundless at this point. But she's such in like a small place in her career right now. So we don't have any clue where it could lead. We're just assuming at this point. All we know is that she's having a TV show. We don't know. It's not even, there's not, the first episode has not even come out yet. She has her own clothing business, which she's sold over $2 million worth of clothing. Like, I think she had she turned 16 recently, and she sold like Sweet 16 merch, and she made like $500,000 in the first day. That's a lot of money for a 16-year-old to make. So just imagine how much more marketability she'll have in like a couple years. Because Dixie's like 19, she's 16. They're doing really fucking good for their age, and they're so young. They have such a long road ahead of them. They could do anything. She could go into acting for all we know. She's a professional dancer at heart. She could become like, I don't know, she could go on to do something like America's Got Talent, or like, I don't know, anything. She could do anything. She could be dancing, like background dancer for like Beyonce or some shit like that. I don't know. She could do anything. It just is up to her, like her personal preference and where she wants to lead her career.
I think the difference between like, you know, Charli and like Jim Carrey is that when, you know, those child actors, when they start out young, doing what their future careers, like they were basically doing their career at a younger age. Like Jim Carrey started small, going to small comedy clubs doing stand-up, moved on to doing huge stand-up, and he was just such a funny, talented guy. They got him into some movies, and he happened to also be a really good actor in these movies, and he carried it with his physical comedy and with his, you know, quirky personality, which is the same thing he used in his stand-up. So those kind of child actors going through different films, TV shows, stand-up if they're comedians, you know, that type of rising from young age, that's more professional and more, you know, there's such a big learning process in doing that. Like if you're a child actor and you're going TV show to TV show to TV show to movie to movie to movie, you're learning how to act, how to be in the TV show, how to be in a movie every step of the way you're doing that. So the rise from a child actor to a movie star, I think it's such a more straightforward and professional progression than TikTok dancing to TV show. Because, you know, Charli, you know, I'm not trying to hate on her. You know, she is doing very good for her age. She's got such a large following. She's not being a total bitch about her following. She's very nice to her followers. Like, I don't mean any hate towards her, but I don't think TikTok dancing and going to a TV show is the same level as doing stand-up for your whole life and turning that into a career. I think, you know, they can do whatever they want at the point in their life, but there is this sort of social contract you sign on to when you become a social media influencer, that if you try and stray too far from what you're trying to do, you receive so much backlash from that, that it's either go back to your roots or fuck off, basically. And it's not her fault. It's just how it's portrayed. Like if she were to quit TikTok, you could imagine how many of her followers would give her so much grief and hate for quitting TikTok. If that's what she wanted to do, if she said, I have to quit TikTok so I can do this TV show, millions of people on TikTok would I could imagine people sending her death threats because of that. That's how obsessed people are with social media influencers. Now, you know, yeah, they could go on, do whatever they want. They could live the rest of their lives being successful. And I hope that they become successful with their clothing line, or with, I don't know, I don't know anything about Dixie, or, you know, if she's a professional dancer, she could do something with that. But it's going to be a much tougher road to market themselves as a full talented person than progressing from child acting to film acting. It's going to be much tougher for them to show people that I am more than a face, because right now the bulk of their career is based off how they market their face. It's based off of what outfits they wear and what type of person they really are, you know, quote unquote really are. So to try and change your try and change your image from a literal image to who you are as a person after doing years and gaining millions of followers based off your face, it's going to be such a tough road for them based off compared to somebody who did comedy his whole life and became a famous comedian. Because that was his genre. He stuck to that from a child. He stuck to comedy and he stuck with that all the way up to probably when he was like 50, he started doing more dramatic roles. When his career, he was already a billionaire. But going from, you know, TikTok to TV show, that's going to be so much more tougher to pull off and to make a genuine career out of, if that's what they want to do. Because we don't know if she even wants to do a TV show. Like, we don't know if she wants to. All we know is HBO told her she can. And she's at such a young age, she's so overwhelmed with fame that it is very possible that any opportunity that's thrown out there, you know, she's just accepting, maybe not thinking about if it's what she wants or if it's what's good for her. Because, you know, like, I know my limits. Like, I want to be a filmmaker. If I got offered the chance to fully make my own movie right now, I would reject it because I don't have the capacity or the knowledge to make a movie right now. Same reason if I was a TikTok star and I got offered a TV show, if I was in the same mindset I am now, I would most likely like ease back on that and just let myself have a progression into this career that I want instead of hopping from different platforms.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not set in stone that's going to be easy. It's not easy for anyone. It's not easy for Jim Carrey. It's not going to be easy for Charlie D'Amelio. It's just a thing that you're going to have to like master your craft over time. And it just depends on what she wants to do past TikTok. Because, I mean, she'll probably be doing TikTok for however long it stays alive for. Like, musically stay alive for a little bit and then it turned into TikTok. Yeah. She's going to probably be doing it as long as it stays alive because that's where she's known for. But at the same time, that's what's marketing her. That's what is literally like showing her off to so many people.
Yeah.
That's what's driving all the
And she's so big. And it's like the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Like Jim Carrey, he probably was a very shitty stand-up comedian at the start, just like every other stand-up comedian would be. But we didn't see the shitty part of Jim Carrey. We saw the good parts that blew up about him. So he started out very small before he got a legitimate career in film or TV. But with Charlie D'Amelio making the TikTok dances, which, you know, all respect to her, doesn't take as much effort or talent as the more professional forms of media. So she's so big right now with the TV show coming out and with her TikTok mass following. She is so big that if she slips up and makes something shitty, it could be the end of her career. It's not like when Jim Carrey, in his start of his career, if he made something shitty, all he had to do was ease back, come back stronger, make something better, because he's not that big. He's still growing. If you grow too much without putting in that work and the talent for that, and then you fall, it's almost impossible to rise back up from that because you have millions of people that now think you're just not worth it, that you're just a shitty content creator and you're no longer, you know, the idol that they once thought you were. She's got such a massive following now that if the TV show fails, it could be the end of her career.
I don't think so.
I mean, it might not be, because but
she has so many followers.
That's the point, though.
I know, it's not like you just assume, oh, the TV show's gonna fail, so then she's gonna fail. Like, that's all very of her, all of possible. Her you think just all of her TikTok followers are gonna go away? She's just not gonna have a fan base anymore?
No. She will definitely always have a fan base for the amount of time she's on TikTok.
She'll have backlash. What I'm she saying, might turn into a meme.
What I'm saying is, for future careers and for future followings, she is so big right now that the progression into that is tougher because she has much more people she needs to constantly impress. And if she's not able to have the ideas to impress these people, because she's at a very young age, nobody should expect her to be such a huge idol right now and be this all-knowing, content-creating, like, goddess. Mm-hmm. Nobody should expect so much from a girl this young, but they do. They always will. And, you know, we got people right now that they hate on Charlie as much as people love on Charlie. And, you know, this whole podcast has kind of become about Charlie D'Amelio. So it's a little weird, but I do think it spans past that, and it spans to the idea that, you know, if you're a if you're a social media influencer, completely market out of your face, and you gain millions of followers based off of your face, once they get tired of that face, if you don't have the talent and the creativity and literally everything else besides your face to back up your reasoning for being so big, you will not be that big anymore.
Yeah.
You will fall. Because people will get tired of faces. They do. They get tired of faces all the time. You know, I'm not saying Charlie's going to get ugly. You know, she's not even 20 yet. She's got, like, the prime is ahead of her right now. But she is so big right now that once people get tired of her face, if she's not able to be a TV show lead, if she's not able to be a creative TikTok creator, then it's over for her. And it's over for any TikToker like that. It's over for any social media influencer like that. If you don't have that progression of talent and hard work and you're solely marketing your face, then you've got to be able to back that up with something.
I mean, I agree in the sense of most TikTok people, but like, she's the face of TikTok. She's literally the face of TikTok.
But is that something that how old is 16, 17?
16.
Is that something a 16-year-old girl should be at this point in her life, though? That huge? Like, where is she?
She might not supposed to be in it.
Like, her career.
She didn't ask for it.
She didn't.
But she's there.
But she is there. And that's why her career is going to peak so much sooner than a stable one.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with peaking at a young age. But if she wants to do this...
It's like we're putting her to a standard of someone who's in Hollywood.
Yeah, and if she can't live up to that standard, then she'll fall flat.
But what we shouldn't, because this is a TikTok. This is an app made for kids to express themselves.
Yeah, we should not...
This is not like a career. She's 16 years old.
Exactly. And that's kind of my point, is that nobody was holding Jim Carrey up to the standards that Charlie is right now.
Yeah, but the difference between Charlie and Jim is that Jim, that was his career. That's what he wanted to do. Charlie's so young that this is basically just... TikTok. This is a hobby.
This is a hobby.
This is a hobby. She has many hobbies. But this is just like... This is just the hobby that blew up out of nowhere. Before dancing or anything. This is the hobby that just blew up out of nowhere. And she's like, okay, I didn't ask for this. But I've received it. And I'm fine with it. She just has to deal... She's just dealing with it right now. There's no say in whether this is going to be, like, the future of her, like, success. She's probably not going to choose to use TikTok as a career for her future, but this is just the way that she's sort of moving towards right now, because this is all she has.
And I... Yeah, and we definitely should, like, talking a lot about Charlie D'Amelio. This is a conversation that can apply to any social media influencer and any celebrity. It's not just about Charlie's life and about her TikTok experience, about growing in a social media platform. You need to make sure that if you blow up, this is either a hobby that you're going to give up or it's what you want to do. You cannot just not know what you're doing, because like I said, if you market based off your face, no matter who you are, and you don't have everything else to back it up, then your career is going to peak in your teens and you're going to be depressed the rest of your life.
I was about to say I agree, but it's a harsh statement.
I mean, it is. People who peak young and tend to be more depressed in their life. Like the kid who, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if that's right, so I probably shouldn't say that. But people who peak at a young age tend to get more depressed later in life because they wish they were still at the level that they were when they were young.
That's also because at the young ages they're going through like puberty and shit, and they care what other people think about them. When people are in their 30s and shit, they already know who they are and they don't give a shit about what other people think about them. They sort of already like become one with the idea that they are who they are and they can't deal with that shit. But when you're a teen, you're like, okay, I don't know who I am. I kind of want to be perceived good by my peers and all that shit. Well, on that note,
on this note, we might come back to this topic because this is a pretty interesting conversation and we still have many bullet points.
I feel like we're in debate club all over again.
Oh my gosh. yeah, let's go ahead and get this ended while Dylan turns up his music right next to our car. Thank you for listening to Perfect Storm Podcast. This has been our conversation about society. Listen to us next week. Goodbye.
Thank you.